it is. It's a good one. It's a holiday.
It is here. Yeah, mostly everywhere in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they call it in your neck of the woods?
Well, it's kind of cloudy and dark today. Maybe we're supposed to get some rain, and that's a good thing.
Oh, we've had rain. Mosquitoes are doing very well. Thank you very much.
Well, we don't have any of those, touch wood. We're well without. So I understand that you've got some breaking news there.
Breaking news. Okay. Just as we started off, this is the beauty of live broadcasts. Oh, by the way, welcome to our viewers to the Bob Dunlop, Tom Tass Border Poll Journal for the 7th of August, 2023, episode 24, season 2. Ooh. And remember to hit that like button and to subscribe because you'll get more of what we're about to unveil should you do that. So this comes from True North, a Canadian media, independent media group that says, are you ready? University of British Columbia journalism professor Dr. Katya Thieme, T-H-I-E-M-E, said she believes children should be exposed to adult genitalia to prepare them for the possibility of seeing naked transgender individuals in locker rooms. This is apparently very important. Because she believes that children should be exposed to this, should they see naked transgender people in locker rooms. I'm not even going to tell you what the comments are because we, you know, part of this podcast goes out on various platforms that may not like the comments. I won't read those, but
no.
But let's just be clear. Yeah.
This, most of our viewers will know what a lot of those comments will be, but
man, I don't know. This is sick. I got to tell you,
you
must have something in the water there, guy.
Well, maybe a little farther north of us here. I don't know, but it's all part of the GVRD system. So I better watch out what I'm drinking, I guess.
You better.
Boy. Well, that's almost speechless. Isn't there things within the Criminal Code of Canada that would say that that's not right, or that you can go to court for?
Yeah, I think.
Are we going to have to go and have another royal commission to study the effects of the Criminal Code on the rights of journalists to spout off nonsense?
Well, in the pre-production, I told you that our Twitter account was suspended for 12 hours because, or X account, whatever Elon calls it these days, because there was a report very similar to the one we just spoke about. And my comment was, that is stupid. Well, up on the screen come a warning saying, Warning, you can't call people stupid because that's hurtful. I'm going, what are you talking about? You know, this is about the issue, not the person. But nevertheless, up comes the warning and it says, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, yeah, I'm sure I want to do this. This is really stupid. So I hit the button and boom, all of a sudden blocked out. Get this big fancy warning saying, you know, you're contravening our rules of engagement here, and therefore for the next 12 hours you're going to be in purgatory, and you better understand your sin, because that's a thing that is going to upset someone. I'm thinking, okay, fine, you know, see you around, come back in 12 hours, like I care. Okay, but this is we got protected classes now that are just at the whim of God bless Elon Musk for trying to fix up Twitter and all, but really it still comes down to there's a core of ideologues in there. You can't question COVID. You can't question climate change. You can't question some stupid thing that comes out, from some ideologue in the transgender movement or something. You go, no, you can't. Okay, so freedom of the press, freedom of thought, critical thinking, all these things are, I'm not sure. What is happening, Bob? What is, in the middle of summer? It's a
movies, right? Wasn't there things about the Thought Police and Purple Rain or something? I can't remember what it was now, but
Purple Rain?
The Thought Police? I don't know what it was where they tried to, the movie where they tried to stop things from happening. People who thought bad things were taken away by the Thought Police. And there's been a few issues like that. I kind of wonder if that's where we're heading. And as we said in pre-production, it was one of those things that this is probably way over our pay grade anyway.
That's the name of this show. Okay. Today's show is we're going to talk about things that are over our pay grade.
And that's probably just about everything.
Well, let's just see here. One of the things you said, Border Hawk News pointed out that even though we haven't got any housing for the millions of migrants you're bringing in, the government of Canada still thinks it's a damn good idea.
Well, yeah, and I guess I find that a little hurtful.
Disingenuous is a good word.
That hurtful. Like, I mean, not that refugees and new immigrants don't have a right to have a place to live in, but what about our own people that don't have a place to live in? Are we forgetting about them? Are we making it worse by inviting more and more people over so that they can all get along homogeneously on the streets of the big cities in Canada? I don't know.
Apparently tent housing is big in these cities, Vancouver, Toronto, tents are good. What are they going to do when it's particularly in Toronto when it'll be 10 below in those tents?
Or colder, yeah.
Yeah, there was a case of a guy from Lebanon who's very angry in Toronto because he was promised at least $10,000 a month in various subsidies and housing and education and health care. He actually had a price tag on it. He was expecting around $10,000 a month from various sources because he claimed to be a refugee from Lebanon, but now he's going back to Lebanon because he was conned. Well, I'm thinking, okay, so you were conned.
Well,
you know what? The plane leaves at 4 o'clock. Have a nice day. I'm sorry. This is like the summertime. I don't want, there's just crazy stuff going on here. And you know, we won't even talk about all the stuff that's gone on with the changes in leadership within what they call the cabinet of the federal government, because we're not going to go there today. Okay. But what do you mean? You know, you didn't get enough of what you were promised by the government of Canada. And oh, by the way, this is the same government of Canada says housing is not our priority. You know, It's none of our concern.
Well, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's not provincial. Maybe it's municipal. Again, it's well over our pay grade. We can't really determine whose fault it is and who should be paying, but we know it's somebody's problem.
Then I'm looking here at Bill Maher, the comedian, who says Democrats are full of shit when it comes to illegal migrants. Bill Maher may be a little slow on the uptake when it comes to his willingness to call out disastrous policies in immigration and irrational leftist arguments, but at least not afraid to go against the grain when the epiphanies strike. This is from Zero Hedge, one of our favorite sort of news aggregators. And it says here, conservatives and some moderates have been pointing out that the Democrats' insanity on illegal migration for some time now, specifically the indigenous raise, I can't even read here, should have my glass on, leftists express over red states busing immigrants to major Democrat, quote, sanctuary cities. As Bill Maher notes, these city governments often pontificate on the virtues of, quote, the American melting pot, unquote, until they are faced with housing and feeding thousands of migrants that pack the streets and the parks. And in bold lettering, it says Democrats support illegal immigration as long as they never have to deal with those migrants on their doorstep. A humanitarian crisis is forming in New York, Chicago, Washington, and is entirely caused by the political left's unwillingness to admit that they were wrong.
Well, again, that goes back to way over our pay grade. These are things where you have people that They've given up, I guess. I don't know if it goes back to a few episodes ago where I called it the Ollie Ollie Oxenfree program. And the game we played as a kid, you know, if somebody manages to get to kick the can, and everybody's free, not just the one that kicked the can, right? I mean, it's you get here, you've got your foot on the ground, you find out that the streets aren't paved with gold, but you're still expecting it.
Then there's this other little gem that is indirectly linked to the whole immigration issue. But it says, this is ABC News this week, two U.S. Navy sailors arrested for allegedly spying for China. Now, the two Navy sailors have been arrested, and allegedly the federal prosecutor said on Thursday last. So both are accused of having passed along national defense information to Chinese intelligence officials for cash though their cases are separate. One guy whose name is Y, a 22-year-old petty officer, second class, arrested Wednesday and charged with espionage, more specifically conspiracy to and communication defense information to aid a foreign government. Another petty officer called Zhao of Monterey Park, California, was also arrested Wednesday by FBI NCIS agents and is charged with conspiracy and receipt of a bribe, officials said. Zhao, 26, works at the naval base in Ventura County and has an active U.S. security clearance, who's been able to access various classified information. So here we have a little bit of a problem with sailors who are apparently, it was something like $15,000 we're talking about, selling on a they were prepared to sell, allegedly selling out their country for $15,000. It's not a lot of dough for that.
No, it sure isn't. That's and the thought, I guess, is way above our pay grade.
Again, well, above our pay grade. Here's another one above our pay grade and our and challenging our geopolitical and logical critical thinking envelope. Do you know what ECOWAS is?
No.
Do you know where Niger is?
Somewhere in Africa.
Okay. Did you know that there was a coup there?
I've heard about that, yeah.
Okay. Did you know that it's of great interest to us over here on this side of the Atlantic?
Well, I guess any coup or any issues that involve maiming and killing of people always makes the news, so.
Well, I'm going to fill in some detail so that even though, again, it's above our pay grade to know this stuff, okay? But the Economic Community of West African States, called ECOWAS, okay?
Okay.
It is hesitant to intervene in Niger militarily because the coup that took place in Niger has gotten a lot of folks excited in Washington and London and Paris, because guess who pays for all this ECOWAS stuff? Well, hint, hint. Anyway, they said to the coup people, you better straighten up by Sunday, or there's going to be serious trouble. I'm being facetious here, of course. Anyway, they signaled that ECOWAS had signaled they will pursue diplomatic solutions, and military action remains on the table. Aside from the potential catastrophic loss of life, which apparently is of no concern, witness Ukraine, there are practical, political, strategic, and legal reasons why an intervention is potentially unfeasible to accomplish. So you have here the president of Nigeria, who's also in charge of ECOWAS at the moment, declared the organization must promote democracy in a region plagued by coups over the past 10 years. So why was there a coup in Niger? Well,
Is
there you go. There's stuff in the ground there that the folks in the coup said they were being sold for peanuts, through various Western European American interests in mining, strategic stuff. We all know what that leads to. We can't have it, we'll take it. Anyway, the problem for Niger is their allies, Mali and Burkina Faso. By the way, you got to find those on the map too. That the French mission in those countries is basically been told to get out of town. And so the French are really upset over this, because all those mining interests there could be, you know, problematic going forward. Hey, it's a great news week. You know, middle of summer, there's stuff happening all over the place.
I guess it goes back to, can't we all just get along?
No, we're not going to get along. Okay, here's another one that's going to be above our pay grade, because now we have international law and history and current politics all fused together to bring you this headline. U.S. limits visa waiver for Hungarians. This is an unprecedented move that comes in response to the security concerns of Washington. Now, I'll read you. This is from Politico, which, of course, is going to be completely down the middle, neutral, as a source of information coming out of Washington. I see that facetiously as well. The United States on Tuesday sharply limited Hungary's participation in its visa waiver program over security concerns regarding new passports issued between 2011 and 2020. Now, before I go on, I got to tell you, I cannot find what security concerns they're talking about, because apparently we're not, that is above our pay grade too. Okay. Under the U.S. visa waiver program, citizens of participating countries can travel to the U.S. for tourism or business up to 90 days without a visa and simply need to fill out a so-called ESTA, which is the electronic system for travel authorization. So this is kind of like the app that we had so famously in Canada. You know, the one that cost $54 million, and we still don't know where the money went.
I thought we had found that out anyway, regardless.
Well, we found out it went to a handful of people, but it's another one of those cases, well, best forgotten, swept under the carpet. Let's not pursue this any longer. So starting Tuesday, this tomorrow, the ESTA validity for Hungarian passport holders will be reduced from 2 years to one, and ESTA will only be valid for a single use. In other words, no multiple entries. Now, this is kind of in our wheelhouse, Bob, because we used to deal with this stuff all the time and wondered, why do we have visas on one country or another? Yes, mm-hmm. or no? Well, simple reason is that they forgot to go home, or, you know, they overwhelmed the system, or they weren't welcome, or whatever the story is. That's how we do visas. Well, in this case, the European Union and other countries, about 40 of them, are part of this visa waiver system in the U.S. But suddenly Hungary is fallen out of favor. After coming to power in 2010, the Hungarian prime minister, whose name is Viktor Orban, implemented a major policy change that granted citizenship to ethnic Hungarians living abroad, including Romania, Slovakia, and Ukraine. Now, the domestic critics in Hungary say that this is only to get votes from, you know, those other citizens. We're talking about 900,000 people here, by the way. So David Pressman, who is the U.S. ambassador to Budapest, told Politico in an interview ahead of the announcement that there are, quote, hundreds of thousands of passports have been issued by the government of Hungary as part of the simplified naturalization program without stringent identity verification mechanisms in place, unquote. The U.S. government has been engaging the Hungarians on this security vulnerability, quote, for many years and across multiple administrations. Well, there's not multiple. There's only been two administrations over the years for this anyway. But let's just continue here. The government of Hungary has opted not to close it. In other words, just saying, hey, it's our policy. Take a hike. This is really unfortunate, said the U.S. ambassador. This is not the outcome the United States sought or is seeking. Now, you have to remember that the United States appears to want regime change in Hungary, you know, like they got regime change in Ukraine, like they had regime change in Libya, Syria. But I digress. Okay. This is an EU country, okay, a NATO country, mm-hmm. That suddenly has fallen out of favor from our friends in Washington. According to Politico, Budapest's NATO allies are deeply frustrated that Hungary's parliament has yet to ratify the Swedish bid to join the alliance. Of course, they forget about Turkey not being too keen on this and others not. But I digress. Many Western countries have also spoken about the deteriorating democratic standards in Hungary, which they don't exactly what democratic standards. But they say, actually, the rhetoric is all about the rights of the LGBTQ plus people who are there. So, you know, they're focusing on a specific group. This is, again, oblivious of the fact of that there are well over as many people of Hungarian origin living outside of Hungary as there are inside of Hungary. Pressman underscored how American experts had previously identified ways the security concerns could be addressed. And here on another website, we found out that the security concern was you give us the names of all the people from your database that have Hungarian passports, which we will then turn over to our pals in Ukraine or wherever who wants to know who these Hungarians are. Probably because, you know, they like to get the heck out of those countries with their Hungarian passports. Or maybe, you know, they're being hounded because they happen to be Hungarians. None of which, of course, is about the reality here, that this is all about, you know, the Ukraine war, which Hungary is against, notwithstanding it's an EU country, notwithstanding it's a NATO country. Okay, so apparently you cannot be again these things, because if you're again it, then you're not with them.
Well, you know, and I guess the issue too is security concerns. If they were just handing out passports willy-nilly without doing any proper security checks, in my former life I would probably be concerned about that too. But at what point do you draw a line and say that, why would any sovereign country run risk of having people that shouldn't be citizens?
Here's the question then. If you don't trust the passport of the country that is it, then don't trust it. Really very simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Particular country in question doesn't like it, they put in a visa. This is what civilized countries do. You do not say to an ally, give me all your passport details of all your citizens. Okay. And why should I do it? Imagine if Canada said to the United States, you know what? We'd like to know, you'd like to disclose to us all the data of Americans living abroad, or those who have dual citizenship, because we think that that would be a risk to our security. Just saying. How do you suppose they would react in D.C. to that? Probably the same as the Hungarians. Go take a hike.
Well, and that's... We're forgetting somewhere along the line that there is a thing called a sovereign nation. And maybe that's because we don't get paid enough to think beyond that. I don't know.
Once again, it's one of those issues above our pay grade. It's where we are today. Issues above our pay grade.
Well, and we all know that common sense died long ago.
Yep. And you know, you have to wonder where this is all leading, because there's that the ECOWAS thing, for example, to me is a classic example of diverting our attention. Okay. Because suddenly, as we said earlier, where is Niger? Okay. I'm not to demean
the issue,
but you know, Niger isn't exactly on the radar of people in this part of the world.
Well, so, up until a week or so ago, people probably wouldn't even know that there was a country called Niger.
Well, moreover, I look at some of the reports in some of the papers you think would know better, because they are the authority of news, and they say the Nigerians. No, Niger is a country. Nigeria is another country. Niger citizens are not Nigerians. Believe it or not, this is what they're writing. I think, oh my God, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, well, it could be something to do with spell check.
Could be, but there's just the it's just unbelievable. And what you look at the shining light on the hill that right now has two presidential candidates, neither of which is particularly exciting to the vast majority of Americans, because they're so divided down the middle. If you like this guy, you automatically hate the other one's guts. That's how this works. And you have a system of take no prisoners, no compromise, no discussion. This is very new, again, above our pay grade. Like, what's happened here?
Even that's probably above our pay grade.
We don't know.
Yeah. And maybe we really don't want to know.
We don't want to know. Well, the other one, of course, is our folks here in this neck of the woods are still insisting that we import millions of migrants into the country. But we don't have housing. Mm-hmm. We don't have schools. We don't have hospitals. And that's okay, because that's apparently the federal government says housing is not their responsibility.
Well, Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. They're all going to come and play baseball?
Well, no. If we build it, they will come. So we're building a huge immigration system so people will come and fix those problems.
Well, they're living in tents on main streets of our major cities at the moment.
Every little plan has a hiccup.
Okay, so let me put this into perspective of a headline that came out on Friday, which said that the latest statistics of the labor market shows that 45,000 laborers in the housing market, that is building houses, didn't show up in the last quarter, or the last month. In other words, 45,000 people have fallen out of the labor market. This is in Canada in June, which is when it's in the summer. Our summers are pretty short when we build houses. And all of a sudden in this month, 45,000 people poof disappeared from the housing market. But if using the logic of the folks who are convincing all these poor people to come here because they will build the houses. Yeah, they're going to get out of their tents on Yonge Street in Toronto and look for a hammer and a saw and build a house somewhere. I'm being really facetious now.
Well, we can direct them to the nearest Home Depot, Lowe's, Canadian
Tire. Not in Canada. They're not Lowe's anymore. They're Rona now.
Rona. Well, whatever they want to be called. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be hammers and nails and wood. And with any luck, these people will be able to pick that up and learn that there are, depending on which municipality you're going to build in, they'll just by osmosis put in all those things, and they'll be able to build a house that will be at the code.
Again, this is above my pay grade. I really do not know what the hell you're talking about.
I don't know.
Hey, listen, I got to do a shout out to one of our members, Ray Morrell, who's overcoming a serious
illness,
and we wish him well. He's getting better. I had a chat with him today briefly, and he's doing well, and he's tackled the big C the fourth time around, and apparently he's on the mend, and the surgery was successful. So he's in our thoughts.
All the best, bud. Keep it up.
Yep. It's one of those things that, all kidding aside, you know, you don't have anything unless you have your health.
That's right. And I think I mentioned too prior that is that when you get that particular disease, it really doesn't care whether you're rich, you're poor, you're white, you're black, you're anything. It takes you no holds barred.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something I wanted to let our readers, viewers and listeners know. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, there's nothing more than similar kind of news on the screen here. So let's
take a bit of a holiday up here. So, you know, maybe there isn't that much going on. And
well, I think we covered the weird parts. the weird parts that are above our pay grade. And I hear you're going to be off for a week going up into the Wild Blue Yonder.
Yes, going to go and try that, get away from the whole media thing. We'll be in a place where there is sketchy cell service, absolutely no internet service, and I'm going to try my luck, seeing if we can catch some of those elusive fish from the lake.
Fish from the lake.
From the lake.
So that means that our next meeting will take place once you return,
which will probably be later on next week.
Okay. Well, for viewers and listeners, we usually do this on a Friday or a Monday. It may turn out to be a Wednesday next time we are.
Well, you know, that's the nice thing about our schedules. It really doesn't matter what day it is.
That's
it
right.
It will happen.
That's right. Since our sponsors, who are currently non-existent, don't matter anyway.
Which we'd like to be within our pay grade.
Yes, that would be good, because in order for us to continue, we'd be happy to get some serious sponsors. Although I must tell you, we've had a couple of inquiries, and when you get back, we'll talk about those, because the sponsors are interesting. If we take on a commercial sponsor, we're going to have to figure out how that impacts on our programming too, you know, because after all, if we're going to be sponsored by a company that, you know, makes dog food, we can't be anti-dog.
No, not that we are. No.
So anyway,
not just anti-pet at all.
No, not at all. So just a heads up, we are getting some traction on sponsorships, but it remains a bit of a question.
A slippery slope, yes.
Well, you know, if you buy us off, what, you know.
Well, it could be.
How will we be critical of the media?
We could get 15 grand for this, just like that sailor, you know.
Oh, no, that's above our pay grade.
Oh, okay. $14,999?
Where's the decimal?
That might be above our pay grade.
Blue plate special is the best we could do. All right. Well, listen, let's look at having a good time. You up at the lake.
Yeah.
I have the lake beside me here, so it's constant. And we'll catch up. I'm quite sure the news will be just as goofy when you get back as it has been this week. Maybe we'll try to work on something that's within our pay grade.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find that too.
All right, bud. Well, you take care, and we'll see you soon.
Have fun.
Will do. I don't know where the stop button is. Oh, there it is. I found it.